by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made his this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will ever be hearing but never understanding. You will ever be seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." I'd like to invite Pastor Chris up.
All right. Good morning, everyone. We are glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. I'm going to move this over here a second. All right. So we have been going through the book of Acts since the beginning of summer. It's been a long ride, and we are finally here at the end of chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts. And just kind of a quick recap of some general, two big kind of things that we were able to see we learned during this time. The first thing was that we looked at the early church, and we kind of spent a couple of weeks kind of looking at what the early church was all about, how they spent time in prayer, how they spent time breaking bread or worshiping God, in fellowship, and also about evangelism, right, and teaching evangelism going. We saw them do these things, and we spent a couple of weeks kind of learning about that, and we hope that we as a church, we here at Canaan, that we would be doing those things well, that we will participate in prayer and of breaking of bread and fellowship and of teaching, getting God's word, and all these good things. And we hope that we're doing those things. And then we started following Paul along on his different missionary journeys, and we got to see kind of, again, this calling for us to go into the world, to go make disciples of all nations, right? The Great Commission really lived out. Paul did that, and we saw kind of his aim in life, how he was really focused on this task that God had given him. And he did not sway regarding what God, he knew God wanted him to do, and he was determined to keep going and keep pressing on. And so we kind of followed him in his journey. So again, we're in chapter 28 of Acts. This is the last chapter of the book. We're going to finish it up. But before we do that, why don't we go ahead and pray first. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again just for this time that we have to get into your word. We thank you that we have been going through this book of Acts and just seeing the things that you were doing in the early church at that time, and also through the life of Paul. And we pray that we would be encouraged to do the same, that we would really be a church that is living after you, and people, believers, who are following after your call and your will in our life. And so continue just to help us as we get into your word right now, that we'd focus on your truth, on your message that you want us to hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, before we get into the main story, let me do, again, another kind of recap of where Paul has been. And so if it was, you know, like a TV show, it'd be previously, right? Previously on the life of Paul. He was arrested in Jerusalem, right? So he went out there, and the Pharisees and the people who saw him there, the Jews who saw him, were really angry with Paul. And they didn't like Paul because he was preaching that the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah. And they did not believe that. And so when they saw Paul in Jerusalem, they got really angry. They actually went out and they grabbed him. They started beating him up. And the Roman guards, you know, saw that a riot was kind of going on. And so they went in, they broke it up. They're like, all right, you know, stop, you know, beating up this guy. But they arrested Paul because they thought that he was the one causing the riot, right? And so Paul gets arrested, falsely arrested, accused. And so he's on trial, and he's trying to defend himself, and he's telling people, look, I was just telling people about Jesus, right? I'm not trying to cause a riot. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I'm just telling you my experience. This is my testimony, and I need to tell people about my testimony, right? And so he gets sent from place to place, kind of on trial, and eventually they're like, all right, we're going to send you off to Rome. You got to go in front of Caesar. You can make your case there. And so they put him on a boat, and this is what we saw last week, right, was that they got caught in this huge storm on the way from Jerusalem to Rome. And there, they get shipwrecked, and it's kind of this crazy story kind of going on. Pastor Tim preached about that last week. And they end up on this city, this island called Malta. And so Acts 28, we're going to look really quickly at verses 1 through 10. It's kind of a fun little story here, and let me read it to you. After we were brought safely through, we learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and it was cold. When Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on a fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he escaped from sea, justice will not allow him to live." He, Paul, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now in the neighborhood at that place were lands belonging to a chief man of the island named Pluvius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Pluvius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who also had diseases came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to set sail, they put on board whatever we needed. So kind of a fun little side story here that happened, and this was tied into what Pastor Tim was saying, was that God has a purpose for everything. Even though Paul was on his journey to Rome, he gets shipwrecked here, kind of this crazy storm, threw them off course, and yet God still had a purpose for what Paul was to do there. So here he is, he's on this island, it's raining, so they made his fire, he gets a bundle of wood, he puts it on, and this viper comes out of this bundle of wood, fastens on his hand, right, and it's like, oh my gosh. But Paul, being Paul, whatever, he just flips it off, right, he flips it off into the fire. And there they are, they're waiting for him to die, and nothing happens, right? They're like, at first they're like, okay, obviously, again, if you guys remember from last week, Paul was on a ship with criminals, right? They're like a criminal ship. And so they're like, oh, he must be, you know, this murderer, he must be this bad guy, he deserves death, right? Death has got him, no matter what. But he doesn't die. And so like, oh, he must be a god, right? So that's kind of, their mindset changes. But the reason why, again, Paul was able to go on this island was there was this man, Pluvius, and his dad gets sick, okay? And he gets sick with fever and dysentery. And whenever I think of that, I think of Oregon Trail. I don't know if you guys, right? You have dysentery. Anyways, so he gets sick. He's about to die. If you guys know Oregon Trail, if you've ever played it, you always die from dysentery. And it's really sad. But Paul here, he goes, he prays for him. He says, okay, I'm going to pray for this man, right? And he heals him. Right, and not only does he heal him, then all of a sudden, all the townspeople are like, wow, this guy is amazing. Let's bring all our sick people to him. And so he does this, and he has this healing ministry, and he's there, and he's healing all these people. And they come to know God, right, because of what Paul has done. And so again, God had a purpose for Paul, kind of setting him off course, but this whole island of Malta, right, all these people come to know Christ. So eventually, the stormy weather season has passed. They get back on the ship, and they finally enter Rome, and when he's there, Paul is put into house arrest, okay? So he's there, and he has one guard there, and he kind of has a good amount of freedom, even though he's under arrest. And he calls, again, he's trying to make his case to the Pharisees there, right? The Jews there, trying to come, hey, come and listen. I want to explain myself to you, right? I want to tell you guys what I know. And again, he kind of shares the same message to them, that Jesus is Messiah, that he's the Lord, he's the one that, you guys, we need to turn our lives over to him. And this is what we find out, right? We find out that some of them listen, some of them believe, and others do not. And so as these Pharisees are leaving, this is what Paul says. And he quotes Isaiah, and it's interesting because Jesus, in his parables, sometimes when he's teaching, he actually quoted the same thing about the Pharisees. And this is what it said. This is what Tim read for us earlier, but I'll read it to you guys again. He says this, "And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, it would be known that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And so what we see here is good news and bad news, right? The bad news is that there is this group of people, the Pharisees, many of the Jews, they have heard, they have seen, but they don't believe, right? They won't turn their lives over to Christ. The good news, however, is that this good news has been given to the Gentiles, to us non-Jews, to everyone else, right? And that they will believe, that they will hear it, they will see, and they will believe. So that's the good news that we have. And for today, there's three things, very simply, that I want us to learn, okay? Is that we need to, as Christians, as people, Christians or non-Christians, actually, is that we need to see, we need to hear, we need to see, and we need to believe, okay? So three things, let's go through that really quickly. The first thing is that we need to hear. We need to hear God, and we need to understand Him. Now, for the Pharisees back then, they heard Jesus very clearly, right? They interacted with Him. They heard Him teach. They heard all His parables, you know, Him talking about the kingdom of God and all these things. They heard these truths come out from the mouth of Jesus. And yet all they wanted to do was argue with Him. All they wanted to do was, you know, fight with Him. And they did not hear anything that He wanted them to hear, right? Now, that's the wrong attitude that we have, right? We should be wanting to hear from God and be aware of what he is saying to us. Now, I know for the Bible back then, God made it kind of obvious, right, when He spoke. Every time God spoke, it's like this voice from heaven, right? We kind of read that, right? It's this big kind of booming voice. That's what I imagine it to be, right? You know, speaking to Samuel, right? He's like, Samuel, right? Samuel. And we hear this voice. Or, you know, He speaks to Moses in this burning bush, and it's kind of this kind of cool, gigantic event. It's obvious, right, that God is speaking. He sends angels, right, to kind of people, and it's like, hey, there's an angel. He's talking to me. Obviously, this is from God. And for us today, I know it can be kind of hard, right? We're like, well, God doesn't speak in that way, right? I don't hear God audibly speaking to me, right? So how is God speaking? The thing is, though, is God still speaking? The question is that, and the answer is yes, right? God is still speaking today. He chooses not to speak audibly in His vocal voice to us, but He speaks in a lot of different ways, okay? And we can see this in I'll give you some examples of how God speaks, okay? So God can speak to us through God's Word. That's probably the most obvious answer and the one that we should focus on is God has given us the Bible, which is God's Word, and this is the best way that we can, you know, find out what God is speaking to us or teaching us or telling us, right? Spend time in God's Word to read it, to know it, to understand it, and we hear from God through reading the Scripture, through spending time in His Word. God can also speak to us through people, right? Perhaps it is from a sermon that you hear on a Sunday, or maybe, you know, on the radio or at home. If you download some sermons, God can speak to you through sermons, through people, through your friends, through your family members. Perhaps, you know, God can use them and speak to you through them as well. God can speak to you through music. I think a lot of times, at least for me, when I'm worshiping God, praise and worship, focusing on those lyrics and people who have kind of spent time doing that and kind of hear God speak to you through these songs. You know, God can speak to you in dreams, in visions, not too often, but God can do these things. Now, with all of these different things, the thing is, how do we kind of distinguish that this is really from God, right? And not just my own self-conscious or my own, you know, desires or something I just ate last night and so I have this weird dream, you know. How do you know it's really from God, right? How do you know people can misinterpret the Bible, right, if they read it? How can you know it's really from God? And this is what I think we should do. A wise man once said this. He said, stop, collaborate, and listen. Check out the speech from my brand new... Okay, sorry, I'm dating myself. That's Vanilla Ice. Ice, Ice Baby, really old. So anyways, But I think the truth stands the same, okay? That we need to stop and we need to collaborate and see kind of what are the things going on, okay? Do these things match up all together? And this is how, you know, this can be a way to confirm that God is speaking to me. So for example, let me give you one. Let's say that you feel that God is calling you to become a missionary. Okay, I know it's kind of specific, but perhaps, you know, you feel that. So what can you do? Okay, well, you go to the Bible. Okay, read. Let's see what God says about that. Okay, God says, you know, that we should go make disciples of all nations, right, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, well, that kind of matches up. You can go to your friends and say, okay, well, and family members, people you trust, and kind of like, okay, you know, can you pray for me? You know, I really feel like God is calling me to do this, right? What do you guys think? You know, and maybe they'll say, yeah, you know, I can totally see you, you know, being on the mission field. Or maybe they'll be like, no, I never thought that you would do that. You know, maybe you should, you know, rethink it and pray about it some more, you know. Maybe opportunities kind of pop up, you know, situations. Another friend invites you, says, hey, there's a mission conference going on, and I really am interested in going. Would you like to come with me? Like, oh, okay, yeah. And things started to line up, doors started to open, maybe doors started to close. And by doing these things, by prayer, by spending time in God's Word, by asking friends you trust and asking them to pray for you, and, you know, by doing these things, you can come to a decision, and maybe that decision, when you make it, you'll have peace in your heart and be like, all right, you know, this is something that I think, you know, God is confirming. You know, these things have fallen through. And I can go through and say, yeah, God, you have been speaking to me in this way, and I'm going to obey. Okay. Now, I know that doesn't always happen. God doesn't always tell us, you know, where to move to, right? He doesn't say, oh, you should move, you know, to Florida or, you know, go do your job here or there. But the same truth, the same principles still follow through. That as we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time praying with God, to God, as we spend time kind of asking our friends, people we trust, you know, your pastors, people kind of, hey, you know, can you pray for me? Can you, you know, help me look for doors, opportunities open and close? And we can see and hear that, hey, maybe God is calling you to do something. You know, maybe on the radio something pops up or not. And you say, hey, okay, you know, God, you are speaking to me in this way. I'm going to obey. I'm going to listen. Okay? Now, for some of us, though, we might think to ourselves, all right, God, I do wish that you're speaking to me, but I just, you know what, I don't hear you at all, right? It seems like there's, you know, silence, just quiet, and I don't know, God, I don't feel or I don't hear God speaking to me at all. The thing is, I think there's two things that we need to be aware of. The first thing is, you know, are we really actively, intently trying to listen to God? I know that all of us are super, super, super busy, okay? We have a lot on our plates, right? For you students, you have, you know, papers to do, studies, you have to study all these tests and extracurricular activities, and your schedule is packed. For you, you know, people who are working, you have deadlines to meet, projects to finish, on top of, you know, trying to keep up your social life and all these things. For families, you have kids to take care of, you have errands upon errands to run that never seems to end. And there's a lot, right? There's a lot of stuff that we have to do. But so often we are so busy, right? We're so busy in our life that we don't hear God, right? Because we're so busy. And I think it's the times that we're the most busy, the times when we're the most, we have so much on our plate. Those are the times that we really need to make sure that we're carving out time to spend with God. To say, hey, okay, you know what? I need to put this aside. I need my time to help God really, hey, you know, speak to me, focus, let me hear what you're saying in the midst of all this busyness, all this craziness. So I encourage you guys, I know it's tough, I know it's difficult, because you do have a lot on your plate, but spend time, you know, find time with God. The other kind of very similar thing, but is I think a lot of times we're very distracted as well, right? It's not just that we're busy, but there's so much other stuff kind of feeding into us, and you know, there's this comic here of this sheep, right? And he's like, I wonder why the shepherd doesn't hear me anymore. And you see the shepherd in the back, he's calling out to him, but the sheep has, you know, sunglasses on, he's listening to his iPod, and he's reading a magazine and watching TV and radio all at the same time. I don't know how he's doing that, right? But the idea, right, is that he's distracted with all these other entertainment, all these other things, right, video games and all these stuff, right, that just kind of consume our lives so much so that, again, God is speaking. I really do believe that. That he is trying to communicate with us. He is trying to guide us and direct us, but we're so distracted by all these other things that, again, we don't hear God. And so that's the first thing, again, for us, right? Is to really spend time trying to listen to God's voice in the middle of all the craziness. Find time to hear Him. And when you do hear His voice, you know, try to, you know, collaborate that with other people. Try to, you know, go to God's Word, pray about it. Again, look for opportunities, doors opening and closing, and seeing if those things kind of match up and say, hey, okay, God is guiding me, speaking to me in this way. All right? So that's the first thing, hearing God's voice. Okay? The second thing that we need to do is we need to see the things that He is doing in and around us. All right? Now, for the Pharisees themselves, again, they were there, they interacted with Jesus, they saw Him do these miracles, they saw Him heal the lame, they saw Him do these crazy things, and yet, again, they kept pushing it away, like, no, He's not the Messiah, He's not the Savior, He's just some crazy guy, right, doing his own thing, right? And they didn't believe in Him, right? Now, for us nowadays, again, very similar, I believe that God is working in our lives, around us, in people around us, and for us, the key is, are we aware of what He is doing? Or again, are we so busy? Are we so distracted? Are we so distracted that we don't notice that God is working in and around us, right? I ask the youth group every single week, right, what is God doing in your life, right? And some weeks, you know, there's nothing, that no one has anything to share. And some weeks, you know, there's a lot that people have to share. But we ask this question, again, to have them think, right, to have them say, okay, what is it? What is it that God is doing, right? I really believe that God is working. He is alive. He's real. He's moving in people's lives. He's moving in your life. He's trying to, again, reveal certain things, right? He's showing up in certain ways. How can we give Him praise? How can we give Him glory for the things that He is doing? Not only do we need to pay attention and see and be aware of what He's doing around us, but I really believe that we should also share that with others to encourage them. Next week, we have a Thanksgiving service. We're finally done with our Acts series, and next week we're going on to, we'll have just a kind of one-off Thanksgiving kind of service. And we want to encourage you guys, we've been asking you guys to say, hey, who has a good testimony that they can share? How has God been working in your life this year, this past year, you know, just this past week? You know, even today, what is God doing? And how can you come up and be willing to just share that testimony? Just share, hey, this is something small, even something small that God is doing. Hey, I want to share this. Or something big that God is doing in your life. Come, we want to hear it. And the idea is that so that God can get the glory, right? All these testimonies point to God, hopefully. And that's the point, right? If you don't share it, you know, then God's not getting the glory. So come and share these testimonies for God. So if you have something kind of cool, please do talk to Pastor Tim, to myself. We'd love to have you come and share this testimony, right, of what God is doing. Something I would like to share just about what God is doing in my life recently, and this is more in terms of ministry's sake, right, is talking about the youth groups. I'll talk about them for a little bit. Last year, our numbers had dipped for Friday nights. And I know that youth group isn't all about, you know, numbers, okay? And there's certain reasons why, certain circumstances why our numbers were smaller. But there were some Fridays where there would only be like one or two kids who would come out on Friday nights. And I'd come home, you know, a little bit, you know, discouraged, and I'd be like, man, there's only like one kid tonight, you know, like all we did was, you know, play games because, you know, we scrapped the lesson and that's what we did. And it'll be a little discouraging, but you know, maybe, all right, let's spend some time, let's pray, you know, let's pray for the youth, let's pray for, you know, ourselves and the ministry. And we prayed and we prayed and prayed. And the really cool thing is that this year, you know, that we have seen kind of this increase in our youth attendance, not just on Friday nights, but Sundays are just a new sense of energy. And a lot of it has been because of, you know, parents, you know, kind of committing, saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to just bring my kids out, you know, make that drive. And a lot of kids kind of saying, hey, I'm going to choose to just come. And a lot of kids are inviting their own friends. You know, I see you, Jack and Jimmy and Christian Connor. They've been inviting a lot of friends, their school friends. Lydia invites her school friends as well on Sundays. And, you know, people are just doing that, willing to just hey, you know, I'm excited about this and I want my friends to be a part of this. And so it's been great, you know, and there's a sense of kind of this new energy and excitement that has been coming. And I really see God kind of working. We have a great leadership core team for the youth, and also the counselors have been really good. And I see that, yeah, God is growing, you know, this ministry. I give praise to Him for that. He is faithful. He is good. And I'm encouraged, and I hope that, you know, you'd be encouraged as well by all these young kids, you know, who are here, a part of youth ministry. And so that's something that I've seen God do in my life, and kind of seeing His faithfulness, His hand, and just, you know, being, hey, you serve, you do with the people that you have, be faithful to these people, and I'm going to bless you with more. I hope that, you know, we see that. Okay, and so that's kind of my sharing, my little testimony here, and hopefully for you guys, same thing. What has God been doing? How have you seen Him work in your life? Where has He shown up this year? And come and share with us next week, please. All right, the last thing is that we need to believe, right? We need to believe. And Paul points, and Jesus, and actually Isaiah, really, is the one who points to the reason why these Pharisees did not believe. Was because of their heart. Okay, if we look at the passage in Acts 28:27, he says that the heart has grown dull. And there's a lot of different kind of translations here. The NIV says that their heart has become calloused. The CEV, Contemporary English Version, says that they have a stubborn heart. The King James Version is that the heart of this people is waxed gross. And the Message Version is these people are blockheads, right? So kind of a different interpretations of this verse or different translations of this verse, I should say. But kind of the main point is, right, that their hearts have grown hard, right? That their heart has become kind of like stone, if you would. And I think for a lot of us who have grown up in the church, this is a big challenge for us, because so often we come and we've heard these messages many, many times, right? I've heard all these stories before. I've heard these truths since I was a kid. And a lot of times our hearts can kind of become dull to that message. And it's just, yeah, I've heard it before. Okay, that's the same thing. And we kind of just push it off. It doesn't kind of affect us anymore. It doesn't change us anymore, right? When we spend time in God's Word, it's like, all right, I'll just kind of gloss through these verses because I've already kind of known them, right? When we pray, we just kind of pray just to do it. But we don't really pray, right? We don't really spend time. And it's hard for us because we've kind of just gone through the motions. But the cool thing is, and I hope that we are doing this, is that we're really turning our hearts back to God and say, you know what, God, I want you to speak to me. I want to hear your voice, right? I want to see the things you're doing in my life. I'm going to spend time, speak to me. You know, I want to hear you. And the cool thing is that God promises that He can change our hearts. I love this verse from Ezekiel 36:26. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put in you a new spirit. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, something that is alive and real and breathing. And that's the kind of heart, and I hope that's the kind of desire that we have as believers, right? That we're really seeking God and saying, hey, God, you know, reveal to me more of you. And I want to grow in my knowledge of you, my faith, my understanding of who you are, you know, and I love you so much, so speak to me, right? And he changed me. And I believe that God will do that. There's also something I want to say for those of you who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior yet. And my challenge for you is, you know, maybe you have heard God speak to you through, again, friends' testimonies or through, you know, sermons and through other things. Or maybe you've seen God do some cool things in your life or around your life and you haven't really given God credit for that yet. But the challenge is, hey, you know what? I encourage you. You know, would you turn your life over to God? Like, let Him be your Lord and Savior. You have heard Him. You have seen Him work. He's real, right? Don't keep pushing that off, right? Commit. Give your life over to Christ. See how He can change your life. See how He can give you just a new will and purpose in what, you know, your life is all about, right? So I encourage you to do that. To not be like the Pharisees and just keep kind of pushing it off, right? But to really, hey, okay, I'm gonna believe. I have questions. That's great. That's fine. Ask them, but you know, continue to pursue that and see. Hey, what is God really saying? For those of us who are already Christians, again, to not be like the Pharisees as well and just not, keep resisting what God is, but really living out kind of our faith, right? Don't just kind of go through life, but really live it out. As James said, right, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, right? And the challenge for us is, are we really living it out? Are we really living out what we believe in our everyday life? Okay, so that's what it is to believe. It's not just a head thing of I believe in God and that's it. But I believe, it changes me, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to do something about it. Okay? So again, really quick recap. Hear God's word. Hear it, okay? See it. See what he's doing in your life around it. Share it with us. And then finally, believe. All right? Turn your life over to Christ. Really live it out in your everyday life. Okay? And that's, I really believe, the challenge for us as Christians today. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Call the worship team to come back up. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much, again, just for our time that we were able to spend in Acts. We thank you that, for today's message as well, just Paul's life and his encouragement to us to really see, to hear your word, to see you, and to believe in you. And we pray that we would commit our lives to you and that you would use us to continue to do your work, and that we may give you glory for all the things that you're doing. So we love you. We love you so much. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.